If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing, coming down the stretch. Then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. All right? The code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/b. Ball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. It is Wednesday morning, live from Los Angeles, and we are here with another Bleacher Report live episode on the Bleacher Report app. So shout out to all of you who are tuning in, checking this out. And much love to all of you who are getting your podcast wherever you get your podcast from, but continue to come show us love. We greatly appreciate that. We never take it for granted. Dubs had a big win last night over the Lakers. Killer Klay Thompson had another good game. Finished with 27. Make sure y'all go check that Klay interview out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@DraymondGreenShow. To check out the interview with Klay. It's a lot of things there to unpack. Klay Thompson's future, what that looks like, Klay Thompson's past, how all of that came about, the championships, the injury, the feelings, all of the above. It's a great time, great chat. And as you all know, we have been waiting to get Klay on for a while. I'm happy it happened the way it did. And we had him on last week or this week. So make sure y'all go check that interview out. But getting into it, like I said, we beat the Lakers last night, 134 to 120, hitting 26 threes. First time since 2015 that Steph, myself, and Klay all had 5-plus threes. Second time ever. First time since 2015. Man, it felt good. Honestly, I went to shoot with Travis yesterday. And we went to get shots up yesterday morning. And we just worked a lot on my arc, like getting my arc up, getting my form right, getting my hand through it. And I told him, like, yo, my shot feel good. Like, and I got to just come out firing because I know they're going to help off. And they always play me like that. They are probably as egregious as any team about helping off of me. And, you know, I have my ways of making teams pay when they do help off, which Brian and JJ hinted at in their Mind the Game fourth episode, which we'll talk about. But last night, I didn't use those ways. I used the tray ball, and it was very efficient, 5 for 5 to start from 3, ended up 5 for 7. But honestly, was just taking what the defense gives me. And, you know, with AD not being out there, obviously changes their defense up drastically. AD's arguably having a defensive player of the year type caliber season. And, you know, he wasn't out there, which makes a big difference on both sides of the floor. We all know what Anthony Davis is capable of, the type of player that he is. So that definitely made a big difference. He was reported out a couple hours before the game. And if I'm honest with you, my reaction to someone being reported out is probably total opposite of what most would think. I hate playing in games like where you're not playing against the guys. It's hard to get up for the game. When you're not playing against the guys that you expect to be playing against when you come in to the arena, it's kind of like a letdown, you know? And so I was happy to get off to a good start, obviously knowing what was at stake. You know, it makes it a little easier to get up for the game and even under the circumstances. And, you know, it also came down to like the last second of whether Brown was going to play or not. So I was really in limbo before the game. Once I was told Brown was playing, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, that's kind of what helped me settle in because, I mean, anytime Brown's on the floor, he's going to give his team a chance to win. So for that was, you know, reason I was able to lock in. But finding out like AD was out, like, that sucks because you want to play against like the top competition. Like, for me, that's what makes me go. Like, you know, I can care less about the games against the trash teams that you just got to be out there. Like, those are the worst. So that was good. Got a little shout out from the great Reggie Miller. Called me a splash cousin. I talked about it on TNT last night. Y'all don't need that. Y'all can go find another splash cousin. Don't put me in that family. Because the expectations of that family and the way they shoot the ball, I'm not quite sure I need nor want those expectations. So y'all can keep those guys over there. I'm going to stay over here. Let teams keep helping off me so I can just dial it on up. I don't need all that pressure, what those guys are doing. And quite frankly, it's not going to happen anyway. But Steph had a really, really good game, efficient game, only shot 9 shots. 7-9 from the field, 6-for-6 from 3. Finished with 23, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Yours truly, 15, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. I had 2 blocks. They shorted me and only gave me 1 block, so y'all should check that. Brown shot that little fadeaway in the first half. And, like, toward the shot clock's running down. I definitely blocked that. And then, obviously, the block on Rui. But I get shorted my blocks a lot, just like I get shorted the foul calls. My tooth hurt like hell, by the way, just so y'all know. I may have to go see my dentist, make sure my tooth is intact. So I was trying to bite some food last night, and that shit hurt. still no foul. No worries. Klay Thompson, 27 points on 10 of 16 shooting. We really shot the ball lights out last night, which was great for us. Now, where it's interesting is we know we're capable of shooting the ball lights out. We have a great shooting team, has had one since I've been with the Warriors. And it's very encouraging because a lot of it, A, came off our defense leading to great offense, and then also we created great looks, and they just happened to go down. You know, it wasn't like we were out there taking tough threes where they were, you know, all over us and, like, every shot was just going in. Like, they were driving kick threes, which drive, kick, swing three, open three. And so the ball movement was great, played with great pace, and we ended up getting great looks. So obviously, when you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on the floor, shooting the ball great is never a fluke. Shooting the ball great is actually what's expected. 26 threes on 64% from the field, which is best ever in his NBA history. So it came at a good time for us. Obviously, a much-needed game. That puts us a half game behind the Lakers for ninth place. If I'm not mistaken, if we win out, that'll put us at the 9 seed. We can still get up to the 8 seed depending on what happens with Sac and New Orleans and Phoenix. And a couple of those teams got to play each other. We still got to play New Orleans. Both of us will be coming off a back-to-back on Friday. We got Portland tomorrow at Portland. New Orleans have Sac at Sac. So that's a big game, a really big game. And then the next night, New Orleans has Phoenix at Sac, which will also probably be a big game for Phoenix with where they are to stand. So a lot shaking down with this play-in tournament. And it's exactly what the boss Adam Silver ordered. And no, I'm not talking about no script writers. I'm talking about the play-in tournament. Since the play-in tournament came about, what, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, it has been the games are the highest-rated games of the season. And the excitement that it adds to the last 10 to 15 games of the season has been unparalleled. So that's been great to see. But that's what's going on in the play-in. So if you're not paying attention to that, you just may want to pay attention to that because it is something to keep an eye on. We've beaten the Lakers the last couple times, obviously last night without AD. And then the game before he left the game early, if I'm not mistaken. The Lakers are always a tough matchup. Like I said, having AD on the court always makes a difference. I am very confident, if we play them in the play-in situation, that we can win. That we will win. And saying that, anytime you're playing against AD and Bron in a one-game situation, it's tough because, they're always more than capable of putting a great night together. And it's more likely in a one-game situation that they're going to put a great night together than a bad night. So it's always tough. Nonetheless, that is where we are, and I have total confidence that we can take advantage of some things that they do and win the game if that is the case. But in saying that, the Kings also lost last night, and that puts them one game ahead of the Dubs, which is interesting because, like I said, they have a couple tough games coming up. So we shall see how that play out. It is important that over the course of these next three games, we win all of them. You got to control what you can control, and that's what we can control. Two games that we should win, and then one game that I also feel we should win, but it'll be a lot tougher because they are playing for something just like we are. So got to stay locked in, but I'm very pleased with where we are and how we're playing. We're coming together, playing at the right, well at the right time. And I think that'll bode well for us and punching our ticket and making a run. Very excited about that. The T-Wolves in other news say they're getting Cat back either tonight or Friday or Sunday or something like that. It'll be interesting because they've played really well without Cat and they played really well with Cat. I'm not making like some assumption that they're better without Cat or anything like that. I'm just saying right now today, chemistry is everything in the NBA. Chemistry is huge. And Cat, if I'm not mistaken, has missed, the last 10 to 15 games or something like that with the knee injury. And to come back at the end of the season where, guys have been gearing up to, from a body standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a rhythm standpoint, and for the playoffs, team has as well. Naz Reid has been playing well. Now you incorporate Cat back in. Cat's a big force. Cat carries a lot of weight. Cat changes the way you play because you're going to feature him because he's that good. And so that will be an adjustment for them adding Cat back into the fold, and that's always tough to do in the playoffs yet. Nonetheless, we've had to do that. We've had to add Kevin Durant into playoff series. We've had to add Steph Curry into playoff series. 2 years ago when we won a championship, I came back March 16th, three weeks before the season ended. We successfully did that. And then when I came back, Steph got hurt. And we had to add him back in actually when the playoffs started. And if you all remember, one of those series, he was coming off the bench. Might have been Denver. And so it's not an impossible thing to do. It is a tougher thing to do, especially with a team that hasn't been there. Obviously, the Timberwolves hasn't been at that stage, hasn't been a one seed or two seed or three seed, wherever they'll finish. So the expectations and then trying to work with that can get a little tough. Nonetheless, if you can get Cat back, you add Cat back into the fold and you just figure it out with whatever it is that you have to figure it out with. Always happy to see guys healthy and get back on the court. So great for Cat. Happy he's healthy and back ready to play for this postseason run. At the end of the day, we're all NBA players and we do our best to uplift a product, and you want the best product on the floor that you can have out there for the sake of the league, for ourselves, for the future of this league. So happy to see Cat back out there. I feel like I said, ultimately, they just got to figure that out. And you much rather have that problem than the other side, which is he can't play. And moving forward, shout out to South Carolina, Louis Vuitton, Don Staley, the GOAT. One of the GOATs, putting it together out there, building an incredible, incredible program, has built an incredible program. And they just took their third championship in 2 years, undefeated season, took down Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Congratulations to Caitlin on an incredible career. Absolutely amazing what she's done for the game. I love how she pays her respects to the people that came before her, ultimately knowing and understanding that it's not just her, but the people that came before her and giving her the platform that they gave her. And then she did her job, which I always talk to y'all about. Pete Myers telling me you owe it to the game to leave it in a better place than it was when you found it. And for those that came before her and where they got the game to, she took it and took it to another level. And that's all you can hope for. So shout out to Caitlin. But more importantly, shout out to them champions. Shout out to the champions, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Much love. There's been a lot of talk going around over the last few days about women's basketball and college women's basketball pretty much all year, and how the numbers were higher than the guys and how the star power was higher than the guys. And that's a very interesting and dangerous thing. I always talk about when, you know, WNBA or women's basketball in general start comparing themselves to men's sports. And ultimately, I think that's a recipe for disaster. Because, number one, when you start talking NBA and WNBA, the NBA is 50 years older than the WNBA. 50. So that right there alone is already going to give you a big gap. Like, because it's 50 years older. Like, so you automatically going to have a gap just by the stages of where the leagues are, as far as, you know, the length of time that the league's been going. So that's a natural thing. An interesting thing, though, what's been interesting to me is that all the talk and everybody like pinpoint, like, see, better than the guys, better than this, more numbers than the guys, ticket price is higher. It's like people are actually like pinning these two things together and creating like this competition. And I think it's so wrong. Like, I think it's actually horrible for the women's game, because you start comparing where you don't, like competing where you don't need to compare. And to me, that's crazy. Like, You're never going to, like, pull your watchers from the men's game. Like, no, they can watch both. Like, they can watch the women's game. They can watch the men's game. But when you start comparing college star power for the women's game and college star power for the men's game, that's where it gets tricky, because when you watch, ESPN and they're highlighting the game per se. Iowa versus UConn. When you watch the women's game, they're not really highlighting the coaches. Although Gino Auriemma is such a legend that they always mention him, but they're not highlighting the coaches. You know who they were highlighting? They were highlighting Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. They were highlighting the players, which is great, I think. But in college men's basketball, they don't highlight the players. They highlight the coaches. So when you watch a Michigan State play against a Kentucky, they don't put Tyson Walker picture up and Rob Dillingham picture up. They put John Calipari picture on the screen and Tom Izzo picture on the screen. So college men's basketball has always been about the coaches. It's not about the players. So what you don't get marketed is like the player in college men's basketball. What you get marketed is the coaches. Coaches that's been there for all these years, 15 years, Calipari's leaving Kentucky. Coach Izzo been the head coach at Michigan State since 1995. It's almost 30 years. That's what is marketed. Not Xavier Booker, who's looking to take that next step next year. And so I think it's a very slippery slope when you start comparing those two things, because next year there won't be a Caitlin. Now, there'll still be Paige, and Paige is incredible. But my point is, you won't have that star power every year. And you can't just flip it then to the coaches. Like, I never knew Iowa's coach name until maybe, like, this week. And, like, I remember her last name, but don't remember her first name. Because she's not marketed. Caitlin Clark is marketed. So when you don't have that star power, and you're still being marketed up against these giants, because their game will be marketed as by the giants that is Tom Izzo, the giants that is Calipari, the giants that are, you know, the list, Bill Self, the list goes, Rick Barnes, like the list goes on and on and on. You're going to be marketed against those giants every year. And so in the year that you don't have a Caitlin or even a Paige for that matter, are you still going to market against those giants? And if you do and you don't have that star power, then all the traction that you've built now fall off. Because where does your marketing go? And does it stand the test of the giants versus the giants? I think not, which is why I think it's a very dangerous slope to go down in comparing the two and making it, we're better than this, look at this, we did that. That's a slippery slope. And I think it's actually a very unnecessary slope.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice,
Yes, it's true.
If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So now, when talking about growing the women's game, now you have these players, Caitlin, Angel Reese, Cam Brink, Camila Cardoso. You have these players going to the WNBA. Now, where that gets tricky is you're better marketed in college than you are the WNBA. WNBA is starting to take that next step. But the problem that you run into in the WNBA is now you're going to have the Caitlin Clarks in the league and all this thing. And, like, you got great traction. But now you got to find the game somewhere. Because there's more college women's games on TV than there are WNBA games on TV. So now you got to be able to find the games. So that problem has to be addressed as well. And so I said all of that to say, women's basketball is in an incredible place, and I think it's great. I just said all of that to say, let's not go back down the road of comparing the two, because it just doesn't make sense. It's an unnecessary battle for no reason. And if you lose the battle, the unnecessary battle, then what? There was never a point to create the battle. And not saying the women are creating the battle, although you sometimes do see some of the women like, yeah, look at that. But I'm not saying the women are creating a battle. I'm just saying in general, probably should tread a little lightly with that because it's unnecessary. Shout out to the UConn Huskies. Rudy Gay went to training camp with us earlier this year. And he like, we a blue blood. I'm like, Rudy, y'all not a blue blood. And we talked about if they won it again, would they be a blue blood? They're probably blue bloods. With what UConn has done, to Dan Hurley's point, over the last 25, 30 years, you kind of got to put them in the blue blood category. Going back to back, there was never a doubt that they win that championship. I had tweeted something about Zach Edey, and you can go back and watch. Jax will probably go find the clip if we're allowed to put the clips up here, which we're on Bleacher Report. TNT had the game. Turner family had the games. So maybe the clip can go up. But there was a specific play, maybe around like the 18, 19 minute mark, where it was kind of haywire on Purdue, and they end up getting a turnover. And I saw Zach Edey walking back down the court, and he was like walking, like shrinking down, like head down. And I told my boys I was watching the game with, and my wife was sitting. I said, he's done. That's it. He's done. I have not seen his body language like that all tournament long. He's toast. It's not going great for him right now. And his body language dropped. But the start of the game, he blocking little dude shouting, like looking at him like he was crazy for coming in there. And now that body language, he no longer believes. And the next plays after that, he ended up like giving up a couple offensive rebounds, which I hadn't seen him do all tournament. A couple guys drove to the lane and just got easy layups. He didn't even come over for the block. He caught the ball in the post and traveled. And I'm like, I told y'all, like, I could see that in his body language. And then, you know, when I tweet because I just want to tweet. I never really read y'all replies. And so I'm sure, though, like, I know how this thing works. And most of these people out here don't really know the game of basketball. So I'm sure if I did read my replies, they probably said something like, you don't know what you're talking about. He had 37 points. How dare you say he quit? Blah, blah, blah. He did his job. And the reality is he finished with 37 points. But it wasn't no Zach Edey 37. It wasn't a dominant 37. What was dominant was like 20, 22. And then they bottled it up. And they was just like, you're going to just shoot these jump hooks. We're going to take all these other guys away. You're going to fight against this one-on-one for these jump hooks from almost the free throw line, and we're going to see if you can make them. He was not moving the guys. He was backing down, so he was taking far jump hooks. And on top of him not being able to back the guys down and move those guys and taking those far jump hooks, like, it was killing their demeanor and it was killing their spirit. And so as the game went on, UConn opens the lead up. They're now taking the three away the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, pretty much inviting them to drive to the hole or throw the ball into Zach Edey. And they drive. They're missing layups. He's getting little putbacks. That's how he ended up with a double-double. That's how he ended up with 37 points. Like, the last 15 points were kind of like garbage time. Like, we're not giving up a three. You can have these layups. And so don't come to me with the, oh, he had 37. I see through that. Was not a dominant 37. Shout out to number 35. And Klingon from UConn, he started it off, and number 35 came in like, I don't care how, if I foul out or not, I'm using all these fouls. I'm just trying to get under his skin. I'm just putting up a fight. And number 35 did that. And it was him that I saw that got to Zach Edey. Like, it was him that really got under his skin. Started with Klingon, but number 35 really got under his skin, and they did their job. And so I want to give those guys credit for the job that they did on Zach Edey, because when you always get the ball, you're going to score points. So you're never going to shut down a guy like that completely, because you're going to get the ball so many times, you're going to score some points. But I'm not buying that 37. That 37 was not the 37 that you all who don't know basketball try to tell me on my Twitter. He had 37. Stop it. That was not a dominant 37. And now I just showed you how to read somebody's body language. So if you want to go back and check out that clip and see at that moment where he was walking back and I said to my boys, he's done. And then you want to go watch him after that, go watch. And you've learned your lesson today on real points and garbage time points and real dominance. And your number said 37. And how to spot blood in the water. I just gave you a real tutorial on that. So I hope you all appreciate it. But more importantly, I hope you go check it out so you can see it. You can identify it as a different layer to the game and how you may see it moving forward in the future. There you have it. Before we get out of here, we'll take a couple mailbag questions. But before we get there, always fun talking about the Mind the Game episodes. Brian was recently talking about one of my superpowers is my IQ.
But it's your IQ that creates the space. Draymond's biggest asset offensively is being able to know that guys are going to sag off him because they daring him to shoot. And Draymond's smart enough to say, you idiots, I'm not going to shoot the ball. Y'all playing so far off me, so when I catch it in space, I'm going to find one of my deadly two guys, Clay or Steph, and I'm going to DHO to those guys and get a clean hit. And because you're so far off me, you're not going to be able to contest.
That allows me to play in space and make defenders pay for things that they do, and regardless of being a knockdown elite shooter. which, you know, obviously, Steve Kerr helped me out a lot with that and just giving me different reads and things that I can take advantage of. But I think that's an important thing. And obviously, you know, playing with Steph and Clay allows you to do some things to take advantage of that as well. They get shots off so quick. So if somebody go over help, all you need is a split second to kind of get a piece of their man and get them a good look. And so that all plays into it. But nonetheless, it was a very interesting thing to me. I had to learn because, like I told y'all before, I had been a scorer my whole life. Like, I was never a defensive guy. I've always been a really good passer, but I used to score the basketball. And so adjusting to that over the course of my career was an interesting thing, but one that I appreciate because I think it separated me from a lot of other people. Bron also talked about guarding Steph and why the Warriors always will have a chance, because with that movement, with the force that he creates, people are always going to overreact. And you can never really rely on your normal defense that you work on all year long, that you play against, that you get so comfortable with, that you play against most teams. There's always an adjustment when Steph is on the floor, when Klay is on the floor. And so that opens up different things for a lot of people. So that's something that we definitely take advantage of. And then I saw Bron broke down the block. Man, y'all take that. I don't want to talk about that block. But no, needless to say, Bron in the chase down block, obviously that's a staple of his career. But what's I think what's even more important is that his teammates can trust that he's going to, because he goes every time for it. And that consistency allows your teammates to not foul. And so obviously that was one of the biggest plays in history that I don't want to talk about. Y'all can save it and talk about that somewhere else. We're going to talk about some mailbag questions. Jackson, you got a few for me before we go?
Yes. Let's start with from at TJX5 in the spirit of talking about LeBron James. Can Bronny be a successful player in the NBA? He asked about him being a star, but let's start with being successful in the NBA.
Bronny 100% will be a successful player in the NBA. Number one, he knows how to work. And if you don't think he know how to work, go look at Bronny from his freshman year to sophomore, junior to senior. There you will see a kid that knows how to work, because you can see the improvement in his game. You can see the improvement in his body. You can see the improvement in his athleticism. At worst, Bronny is an NBA level defender that can knock a shot down. So at worst, he's a 3-and-D guy. Great. We got those all over the NBA. Can pressure the ball, can come in, at worst, be a backup point guard that can pick up full court, that can put pressure on another team's lead guard, whether that's their backup, whether that's their starting guard. He can come in and change the tempo on a defensive end. So at worst, he's a 3-and-D guy. 3-and-D guys are highly valued in this league. Three guys are highly valued that can't play no defense. So 3-and-D defense guys are definitely valued, and Bronny got a really good shot. So didn't shoot the ball all that great this year, but his mechanics are great. He's always shot the ball great. Bunch of different factors into why he didn't shoot the ball well this year. I'm not going to overreact to that, because I know he can shoot the ball and he can defend. So, yes, I think Bronny will be a successful player in this NBA draft. Also think it's a smart, in the NBA, also think it's a smart move for him to go in this NBA draft, because this NBA draft is Basuda. This NBA draft will go down probably as one of the worst in history from a top talent standpoint. Now, I think when you get in this draft, you will find some guys from the 20s and 40s. Like, I think that's actually where the strength of the draft is. When you start getting in like the top 10, top 15, it's not your typical top 10 and top 15. There's not even a consensus number one pick. Last time there wasn't a consensus number one pick, we ended up with Anthony Bennett. That didn't go so well. So don't think this is a great draft, which I'm Bronny. I'm also taking that into account. Like, this is not a great draft. I can even move up even higher because of the lack of talent. And then my name, who I am, what I bring, what I can grow into. So I think it's a great decision, and I definitely think Bronny will be a successful NBA player.
Next one from at @KSizzle. Who is your favorite young player in the league right now?
My favorite young player in the league right now. I mean, don't we all love what the thought of what Wimby can possibly become? And the thing I love most about Wimby is he does it on both ends. Affects the game in an elite way on both sides of the ball. Somebody said something last week, like, how scary is it that this is the worst season of Wimby's career? Very. Scary for everybody. And if, like I said before, if Wimby never grows offensively, he's already an all-star NBA player. If he never grows offensively because of how elite he is defensively, he's already an all-star NBA player just off that alone. So I got to be Wimby. And then for me, what is young, right? Like maybe under 25? Is Luka still under 25? I don't know, man. Guys are starting to get old. However, Ant-Man, love what he embodies, love his game, love, like, you see them down and then he end up with 50. You know, like, he takes on those challenges crazy, and he has the skill level and the athleticism and the star power and the mindset. He believes it. So it's Ant-Man for sure for me.
Last one from at Watts Shy. What do you think about Coach Cal leaving Kentucky?
So Coach Cal leaving Kentucky is an interesting one for me. And the reason it's interesting, because I know exactly why Coach Cal left Kentucky. And the reason I know why Coach Cal left Kentucky is because I was once committed to Kentucky when Tubby Smith was the head coach. And I'll never forget the day I was standing in Saginaw High School gym and my high school coach Lou Dawkins put me on the phone with Tubby Smith, who was his head coach in college in Tulsa many moons ago. And Tubby was at Kansas, and he put me on the phone, and Tubby told me, "Draymond, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted you to hear this from me first, but I'm going to leave the University of Kentucky. They're not going to fire me, every year it's more and more scrutiny. It's hard. It's getting harder and harder for me and my family, and I've just had enough. I need to get out of here. I need something fresh. I'm going to go to the University of Minnesota. Would love for you to go with me, but I understand if you want to reopen your recruitment." "Yeah, coach, I'm going to reopen my recruitment. If I'm going to go to Michigan State, if I'm going to go to Minnesota, I can stay in Michigan." And so never really truly considered Minnesota. Like, I never even took a visit there or anything of that nature. But that's where Cal is at. Like, the pressure, the expectations at Kentucky, if you don't win, it's just never enough. And you know, I've heard about him having a relationship with Tyson Food Group, the owner of that, who's an Arkansas guy. You got the Clintons down there, who's Arkansas people. You got the Waltons down there, who's Arkansas people. And so Cal going to be able to do what Cal does at Arkansas because he's going to have money behind him. And so he's going to be able to recruit at an elite level. And Arkansas will appreciate more him recruiting at an elite level and not winning than Kentucky does. Kentucky don't give a damn if you're not winning. And so I think it's a great move by Cal. Job well done at Kentucky. You can't take nothing away from him there. The amount of guys that he has put in the NBA to change their lives and their family's lives is unparalleled. So I think it's a smart move by Cal. I think it's a great move. You're going to get that bag, but even more so than getting the bag, the access that he'll get off the court through relationships is huge. And kudos to Cal. Job well done at Kentucky, my man. They can't take nothing away from you. It's been very fun to watch year after year how great Cal is at recruiting. But, you know, it'll be also interesting to see who's Kentucky's next head coach. That'll be an interesting one. So we shall see. But Michigan State, we still got the great Tom Izzo, baby. Until next time, that's a wrap on this episode of the Draymond Green Show. Peace.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.